right out of Cuba. That was Compay Segundo with Felicidad. Actually, it's titled Versos para Ti, and Felicidad being the chorus there. Hello out there in Radio Land, wherever you are on this day. It is the first day of the new year, January the 1st, 2001. I hope you are safe and sound and healthy and coping and ready to pick up from where we left off with each other. Jeez. Just last week, I'm Yatrice Lead, and this is Talkback. I'm doing double duty today because today being a holiday, the regular host is not here. He'll be here tomorrow, and I'm referring to Hugh Hamilton, who takes over from me. I'm not here officially. I have, of course, resigned owing to taking this new position as interim general manager here. So, officially resigning last week, here I am filling in for the host who is enjoying his first vacation day. Hopefully, he will be with us tomorrow, and we go back to normal. Well, the phone lines are open at 212-209-2900. Much has been said, and I have many concerns, and we'll be talking. At your disposal, here I am. You're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Yatrice, it's Dolores Park Slope, Brooklyn.
Hello.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much.
And
same to you.
And I must be very blessed to get you two doses of you in a day because I was with the flu.
Oh, really?
And I just went to say Happy New Year to you. I tried earlier.
Thank you.
Because I'm not well. But your mailbox is full, and I've been trying to reach you. I'm from the library, and I can't tell you any more than that.
All right. Yes, I know.
Okay.
I know who you are.
So I just want to say good luck to you, and I am sick with the flu, and I'm blessed that I got you two doses of you today.
Thanks so much, Dolores.
And good luck to you.
Thank you, and Happy New Year. And,
Thank you.
We'll meet soon.
I hope so.
Yes.
Take care.
Take care. Hello, you're on the air. This is WBAI.
Oh, I'm very distressed.
Yes, who's calling?
This is Winter.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's very frightening.
What is frightening?
Well, what's going on at WBAI? There seems to be, it's kind of like people have backed themselves up against the wall and there's no return. And I really like Wake Up Call. I think it's a treasure. And but I haven't had any kind of feedback on what's going to happen with it. I understand employees have been terminated.
Yes.
And I don't want to get into that. I'm saying let's get on with it. There's a very big threat here, and the threat is, on one hand, that putting you in place as interim manager, I heard you this morning, and I got even more afraid or frightened because I kept hearing you talk about quality, order, disciplined responsibility. And then I said, well, who is she talking about? Is she talking about the station or the staff? I mean, I think the airways with BAI has been fine. I find the programming pretty good. But what were you talking about when you were saying, well, there's unprofessionalism, there's terrible program going on, and then there was a listener that called and agreed with you. And I'm trying to figure this out. What's going on?
Well, again, I think if you've been listening to the tone, the tenor and tone of certain programs, especially in the last 10 days or whatever it is, 11 days, I've lost count, you will find that the level of invective has just gone off the screen. And to me, that is a signal of irresponsible programming. When it is one thing to have a difference of opinion, but I find it really, really sad that along with the difference of opinion come the long knives, where people just will not relent until they are fully satisfied that they have carved up a body and left it in a heap and become cheerleaders for this kind of cannibalistic exercise. I don't think that that is good programming. I think that that is irresponsible conduct and irresponsible behavior.
I think...
And I've heard too much of that.
Yeah, but what I think I'm hearing is that people are absolutely shocked, they're wounded, and it's almost like a loss has taken place. I know I feel like I'm experiencing a loss. It's almost like a death and dying issue. So especially when you have a family, I mean, you've marketed this show, or WBAI has marketed themselves as a family.
Yeah.
And certainly...
Kind of like an Adams family.
Whatever. But I mean, and I don't want to be derogatory toward the listeners.
Yeah.
However, what I'm saying is that there's a process.
Yeah.
Meaning that when people are wounded and hurt and feeling a great sense of loss, of course there's going to be anger, of course there's going to be conflict. That's just human response.
I understand that that's human response.
So why don't we talk about having a mediator come in? Why don't we talk about somebody coming in and doing some healing so that people can sit down and really get...
I believe that is important to do, but I still say that just the same, this level of grief consciously has been brought about by irresponsible action. That's my contention from the beginning. This morass that we find ourselves in has been manufactured by individuals acting out of just blatant self-interest and who apparently had no particular hesitation in considering the consequences of their rash action. Their rash action being declaring a war that they now expect everybody to finish off.
But how do we go about bringing the two camps together?
There are no camps. What has happened again is that there are differences of opinion based on where we are. But I am still focused on how we got here. That has been lost in the whole discussion. How did we get to this point? And we got to this point because a particular individual usurped the right and unilaterally declared war and engineered a series of untruths into a rationale for that war, carefully orchestrated a scenario that simply does not exist.
But I think you have inside knowledge, and you pretty much understand what you're talking about.
And that's what I'm saying.
But you're talking about thousands upon thousands of listeners that have not a clue.
But this is what I'm saying.
What's happening.
Correct. And this is my point exactly. Because of the credibility of this one individual, for the most part, and I am very... very clear that that individual has a great number of talents, but also in this particular instance has served a most destructive role, and it has been lost in the whole discussion. This is how we ended up here, that this one individual who has enjoyed inordinate privileges, inordinate consideration at this station, and who has had a pattern of taking unilateral action that enmeshes this person's colleagues. Again, this is such a circumstance. We have one individual who appears to adhere steadfastly to the belief that it is about this one individual, that it is not about anything else, and even if it means creating this level of discord, creating this level of division, simply to satisfy a highly and intensely personal agenda, that is what that individual has been prepared to do.
But how are you going to govern? I mean, I'm listening to all of this stuff,
yes.
And I'm saying to myself, my God, how, in terms of management style and management skills, yes, I do agree with many of the listeners, how the method, the process, how this whole thing was handled was done very badly. And so really created a real, real mess.
But again,
and an aftermath and a bad taste.
But Winter, if I may say so, again, this is primarily the responsibility, in my belief, of one individual who has concocted an intricate web of lies, who has drawn into that web individuals who were very sincerely wished to express support. But that support was predicated on a web of lies, which, by the way, still stands.
But how do we get from here, Dimitris? How do we move from here?
The first thing is to find out where here is. We can't move from here until we define here. And here is the ongoing internal contradictions that we have failed to address squarely. Here is the individual action of a person who believes that it is okay to be a self-guided missile, and that it is all right to expect individuals to come in and clean up the mess caused by the detonation created as a result of rash, unethical, and unprofessional conduct. This has been a difficulty internally. And now that carefully orchestrated web of lies has now been layered upon, we're now drawing into that web the question of the dismissal or termination of the general manager, which is completely unrelated, the question of KPFA, which is completely unrelated, even the question of the functioning board, which is completely unrelated to the situation at hand, which is, no matter how you dice it, one individual unilaterally declared war and now has carefully orchestrated a situation in which we all are involved in cleaning up the mess.
I think you all are at risk, because I think the issue here is that if there's infighting, what happens is that, yes, I think it's really very strange the type of people that you have on your national board nowadays. And I also think that these are marketing corporate people who have a certain vision and insight.
May be relevant issues, and they are issues that have been dealt with before. There will be issues that will be dealt with again. But they are not, with regard to where we are, the here that you asked about, they are not intricately tied to the here. We got here because the contradictions are here. We got here because people here brought us here. And we have failed in any number of ways over a series of years. And we have blown many opportunities to rein this individual in and to make it clear to this individual that any action undertaken as an individual has collective impact and repercussions. And it is therefore incumbent upon this individual to come clean.
But you just, I don't think of one individual. I mean, they could have set the fire, but now it's out of hand.
Well, I'm saying
at this particular point, I mean, I went to a meeting the other day where there was like 1,500 or 2,000 people.
Oh.
I mean, that's listeners, people that go in their pocket and they pay your salary.
Well, just
what I'm saying is that these people are upset. They want to know what's going to go on here.
The people can't be upset. The people have been made to be upset. And this is what I say is tantamount, in my view, to a crime. It is one thing to say that, you know, there is a legitimate issue here, but it is another thing to manufacture one entirely for absolutely selfish reasons, to manufacture situations that simply do not exist, and to engage in this kind of nefarious propaganda. And this is what has happened. Now, people may be uncomfortable with that. They may want to attribute this to COINTELPRO, the FBI, the CIA, Interpol, and every police, law enforcement community and intelligence community out there. The fact is, the fault line is right here. It has been here for a number of years. It has been ignored for a number of years. And it, time and again, enmeshes us in having to put out brush fires that we, as a collective, never have started.
But I don't think this is a brush fire. I think this is a roaring fire.
It's a conflagration, again, that nobody was given permission to start. And nobody here was consulted about how to start a conflagration. An individual took it upon that individual's own self to start a fire, and to feed the fire, to fan the flames, to get listeners riled up. Because, and this speaks to what I think is a contemptuous regard for people's intellect, that owing to someone's understanding of their so-called credibility, And it's not even so-called. It's a legitimate claim to a credibility because of the work that you do, that you would misuse it so and get away with it in broad daylight. I find that just absolutely reprehensible. And even as I speak to you, not one of the individuals pointing fingers every place else has dared to point the finger in the right direction. Not one.
But does it leave you in a situation you're able to govern at this point? You're able to get the cooperation of the staff? You're able to get the support of the staff at this particular point?
That, too, is a dilemma because, again, I did not ask to be in this position. I was minding my own business just 2 weeks ago, trying to do the best that I could to produce a healthy program aimed at truly mutual education. I've been thrust into this position, and I'm not running away from that responsibility. I don't like it. In fact, I've made it very clear in meetings that I resent it intensely, that my concentration now has to be diverted for something that I wanted to do. And now I have to concentrate on doing other things and retrieving whatever is left of our shattered cells is top on the list, and trying as best we can to hold things together to do the damage control based on the unilateral action of one person. And this speaks to the internal contradictions that I pointed out that have to do with race, that have to do with conceptions and perceptions of power, that have to do with sexism, that have to do even with nativism. All these ugly things
have
now come to the
workplace. No, and if you're an African American, you should know that.
Well, it may happen in every workplace, but again, the contradiction is we are supposed to be, quote, progressive, unquote. And I have not seen this level of retrograde conduct in a long time.
Right, but I think also
could we move on?
Yes, but just one thing.
Go right ahead.
The definition of progressive in many cases is that one strives to develop and create a democracy.
Well, what is
and
it?
I don't think that. I'm not left with that after what had happened. I am just absolutely shocked because I counsel people and I hear them come into my office and tell me that they've been terminated, or tell me how they've been terminated,
or
tell me that they've been escorted to the door by a security guard and was making loads of money and just felt like they were so devalued and they were not a human being.
Yes.
And I have had to work with people that it's taken them a year or two to get themselves back together.
All the more reason
they were terminated.
All the more reason, again, that I go back to where this all began. It all began with one individual, an out-of-control individual, who believes that even if it means that this entire station must be brought down around our knees, that it is well worth it to vindicate that one person's image of ego. That's the problem.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to move on, but I just hope and pray that some miracle will happen, because I would think it would be extremely difficult.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your sentiments, Winter. Thanks so much. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. I'm Eutrice Lead. The program is Talk Back, and you are on the air at 212-209-2900.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon to you. Who's calling?
Meshach from the Bronx.
Hello, Meshach.
Thank God I get through. I've been listening ever since all these things start taking place.
Uh-huh.
And I listen to all the producers who come on. And there's only one producer who seems to stay neutral so far in what's going on. And that was David Rodenberg. And he was trying to explain to us what do you think, you know, was happening.
Uh-huh.
And you said at one point where you were elected to be program director by a group of people. I don't know if it was the board or whoever, mm-hmm. but it was a democratic process that take place, and you were elected to be program director. And the station manager, who I think was Valerie Vanessa at the time,
yes.
because you openly criticized her for some of her conduct in terms of running the station, she decided on herself to, by herself, to veto your appointment.
Yes.
And then hand over that position to the gentleman who I love, which was
Bernard White.
Bernard White.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And my point is, you know, if a democratic process had taken place and you were appointed program director, then why didn't it stay that way? And why did she veto the position by herself?
Well,
and causes this problem, because I love both of you. You know, I love Bernard White. I love BAI.
I know,
and this problem just keep going. And you know, all these programmers, you know, these people coming on, and they're making these listeners hate you more and more by, you know, either swaying the argument one way. And I know you know what's going on there, but you're probably waiting at the right time to tell us.
That's correct.
But it seems that the listeners are getting to that point where, because of everybody, just seem to be siding with the group of people that.
But they're all their focus is off. The one place they need to look, the one place that they must desperately point to, everybody has astutely avoided. And that is where the problem is. I know I am in the minority taking this position, but I think people on the inside know. And in talking to enough people, I am convinced that they know where the problem lies. But for some reason, the problem is allowed to persist. And the person responsible primarily for bringing us to this exasperating point has yet to be confronted. The person continues to involve this entire station and its listenership in a war that we did not start.
That's my point.
Let me respond in the particular thing that you raised. Look. I'm a big girl. I could take my lumps. The situation went down the way it went down, and it's okay by me. But what was not okay? Because technically, the general manager, it is a rare thing. It is considered so rare that it is considered almost something that never happens, that a committee would make a recommendation that the general manager will set aside. But okay. The thing that was bothersome was, to me, all right, you don't like Utrecht's lead, fine. But I was not the only person recommended. There was a runner-up. And the runner-up was also passed over. And she was absolutely qualified for the position.
That's my point.
And when the body politic here tolerates the abrogation of what they call, everybody's flinging around the word process. You don't like it, reasonably fine. You know, I've had my glory days. This doesn't bother me. The thing is that behind me was a person who should have that job, and who should have that job as a result of her colleagues' votes.
Yes, so therefore there was no democratic process there from then.
Not at all. And not only that, the general manager, may I add, was ordered to reopen the process, and didn't.
Right.
To reopen it, and did not. So we have the people now who are getting nosebleeds from being on such moral high ground tolerated that. They tolerated it because it was in their interest to overlook a flagrant violation of procedure.
Right, so there was no democratic process. But my point is, why these producers then don't say that instead of misguiding the listeners then? Because like I said, I love Bernard and I hope he comes back. But I would also hope that these producers, you know, tell the truth instead of misguiding the listeners and let them start to hate you, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, these people, and you know, it's so unfair in my opinion,
yes,
to be one-sided on the issue.
Well, I make a point that, again, the program that just ended before I came on the air, the program is passed by my office.
Yes.
Not one said, we are discussing you in great detail. Would you like to sit in and lend your view? For all of the people who have been preaching and bashing Utrecht's lead and Bessie Wash and whoever else black they could find, not one has had the courage not to mention the courtesy, but not even the courage to say, could we talk to you?
Yes, and so we could hear and hear, instead of one little segment over here and then one little segment over there. And to me, that's very, very important to discuss. If a democratic process had took place, even though it's long gone, you all pointed out, somebody else was appointed to be program director, and it was vetoed by one individual, therefore...
We should
look at that as well, that there was no democratic tolerance.
It was not just vetoed by one individual. It was countenanced and tolerated and embraced by all of the people yelling their lungs out right now.
Right now, that's what my point. Why do these people accept that and then trying to tell us, the listener, all this stuff? It's amazing. Well, anyway, I'm just somebody
but
else.
But it just goes to prove that when people claim and extol their liberal credentials, you still have to do what I urge us all to do on Talkback, which is to read between the lines and listen for what is not being said.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Meshach, for your call. We'll take this break. We'll come right back at 212-209-2900 right after this. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. I'm Yatrice Lee. The program is Talkback, the gathering place for the exchange of information, opinions, and ideas. And I'm filling in today for Hugh Hamilton, who will join you again tomorrow. You're on the air at 212-209-2900. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon, Eustace. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Who's calling?
This is Joseph.
Thank you, Joseph.
I'm calling from the Republic of Brooklyn.
Okay.
I want to say that you are a big girl and you can take a whole lot of lumps because bricks are flying everywhere. You know, they're coming from all sides.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and when talking about the integrity of the process, I mean, there is so much that's not known, and I think it would be doing us, the listener, a service. We need to come on out there, get in the fray, start throwing your hands and stuff.
Well, that brings
me... like, there's bricks coming and everything, and I mean, I think that you deserve a defense, and I think that the only people who, and the only person who can throw up a defense is you, because, like, they be saying all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And all of this stuff is bogus. I believe, because I believe you do have integrity, and I believe that the stuff ain't smelling right. So I think that you ought to come on out and blast a few folks.
Well, I don't want... You know, the thing that I have resisted, if you've been listening since this whole thing happened, I have kept quiet.
I tried not to listen.
I really don't like the idea of joining people who are several levels beneath where it is I think they ought to be. And right now, this discussion... And the way the discussion began and still continues in many instances is at a guttural level. I'm not into being in the gutter.
I
wasn't raised that way.
I understand that, but I've walked with you from Howard Beach to Wappinger Falls, through the city sun, and we even danced a little bit together. But I'm saying, like, come on out and blast a few folks.
What would be the good? The thing is, I'm trying,
anyway.
You know, the idea is trying to get people together. And it just exacerbates things when you behave in the same way that the people are behaving that you criticize for behaving the way they're behaving. You just don't want to join that. It's like, you know, having a dirty film cover your just washed skin. You just don't like that.
That's all I have to say, but I'm hoping that you come out with a few karate kicks. But I love Bernard White, though.
I do, too.
Okay.
This is the thing. We're talking here. This is the funny thing. It is not about Bernard White.
I don't think so.
It is not about Valerie Van Isler. It is about an individual who is out of control and has been for years at this station, and whose actions have now resulted in the termination of Bernard White.
But I think that Pacifica is dangerous. I think Pacifica, and I understand that WBAI is, as you've said, is Pacifica, but I think that Pacifica is dangerous, and I think their intent is untoward.
Well, let me put it this way. we are Pacifica. And whatever the intent is, the fact is we've always had it within our power to assume a significant degree of control over what happens here. We have had poor management, mismanagement, no management in some instances for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made us vulnerable to all the things that would be the natural byproducts of the absence of insightful leadership. We lost we suffered a serious blow
with
the death of Samori Marksman.
Get on the board and infiltrate Pacifica then.
No, it's not about the board. I'm saying that our problems started with one individual, and that individual knows who it is.
Okay.
And several of us here know who it is.
Okay.
But no one, for some reason, has been able to confront that individual squarely and say, you are largely the reason that we are in this mess.
Well,
had it not been for you telling lies, had it not been for you manufacturing something that isn't true and putting layers and layers of lies on top of that and drawing into this web, this so-called conspiratorial web, things that are totally unrelated, had it not been for the fact that you are out of control and have been for a long time, and efforts to discipline you and create a structure for you within which you can reasonably operate like anybody else.
Point them out, point them out. Tell on them.
It's coming.
Well, good.
It is coming.
Well, good.
I don't want to go there, but it is coming.
Well, good.
All right. Thank you. Hello, you're on the air. This is WBAI.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Brooklyn. I'm a listener of Wake Up Call, and one of the intrigue and of this Svengali that you've been speaking of today is very new to a lot of us listeners. I think one of the keys that we are very concerned about, mm-hmm. I personally, is the change in wake-up call. It's something that we support, we pay for.
Sure.
We rely on. And you just said that you loved Bernard White, as many of us do. I do.
Yes.
He's a critical component of the community that I consider myself a part of. And I've been following this crisis lately. And in an interview with Bessie Walsh, I believe she took responsibility for the terminations. But she she made it clear that you have the power to rehire them.
Yes.
And is that something you're willing to do?
Well, let me be clear about what was said. I do care for Bernard White. He knows it. We've had major differences of opinion. We have had even a personality clash or two. But I was hoping that he would have sensed that I am mature enough, and I'm counting on his maturity, at least I was, that whatever the differences we have as individuals with each other, whether they are on professional or personal basis, I have not taken them outside of the station. They remained here. And I have done them that dignity that I have retained within these walls everything that I need to say or express about Bernard White. That has not been a reciprocal arrangement. And certainly from the last several days, if ever there was a window open to assist the situation, he closed it firmly by his conduct. Again, emanating the same pattern of the individual who started this war in the first place. A disciplinary action is taken. Well, you're a grown person. Take your lumps, go off in the corner someplace, lick your wounds, and come back fighting.
Was that the termination is a disciplinary action?
Well, the termination, yes, is an extreme disciplinary action.
I know, because I've done management before, and it's something we try to avoid.
Yes, it's an extreme, but you must also say, as extreme as it is, it must have been triggered by something equally extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't that be the rationale?
But on the issue of rehiring.
No, I'm just asking, would that be an unreasonable rationale?
Well, if something is extreme, try to avoid termination at all costs.
Sure.
And try to work things out. You just said that you're going...
You avoid termination, but I'm saying if it must come dramatically, chances are the reason for it is equally dramatic. Would you agree or disagree?
Oh, that sounds right.
Okay.
But the reasons have been not public, and so we as...
Well, the reasons have not been made public by the individuals, but I am not going to do that. That is not something that I would do. That is considered, in my view, highly confidential information. I will not reveal those reasons because it is up to the individuals. They have gone public, not me.
Will you rehire them?
The question is, right now, there are procedures to be followed. The grievance procedure will be followed and exhausted, and we'll see how that turns out. That is for, in the case of Sharan Harper, my former union shop steward, fellow shop steward. There are grievance procedures that apply in her case, and she should take strong advantage and full advantage of those procedures.
I see.
With regard to Bernard, who is a management person, he does not have the same protections. And so his process is different. He will have to seek redress in another way.
And that, well, my question was predicated on what I believe Bessie Walsh said quite clearly.
Yes.
You, Trees Fleet, have the power to rehire
them. Sure, not to hire them now. Now, don't start amending.
Okay, no, I'm just...
But don't start amending. The word now was not in there.
Okay, but you have the power,
sure.
But it's subordinate to this process.
Sure. And I think that's fair. You were in management, what would you do?
Well, I mean, I don't know the circumstances.
Precisely. But what would you do based on the information that you have? Let's put the scenario as hypothetically as it exists. Your superior has terminated someone who is your subordinate.
Yeah.
But your superior says, because you are the incoming head of a unit, it is up to you to make the call on whether the person comes back or not. What would you do?
Well, I try to favor rehiring or preserving staff, and as you said, bringing people together.
Yes.
You've also used the words, don't quote me, but rational and reasonable environment.
Yes.
That's right, creating a rational and reasonable environment for resolving internal difficulties.
Sure.
And as a listener, I've lost something. I've lost wake-up call.
No. Don't jump. I'm posing a hypothetical to you based on what we know or what we accept as the current state of affairs.
Right.
Your superior has fired two people who technically are now under you because you're the incoming head of a department.
Okay.
What is, in your view, the best management response?
Personally, viscerally, I rehire them.
No, don't get visceral. I'm talking to you as a person. You say
I rehire them immediately.
You will.
And we sit down, with a mediator or without, we just figure out what the problems were that someone from outside the community decided to participate by terminating them. I think we need to resolve things on a local basis.
No. Are you reacting to the scenario I just put to you?
Yes. Yeah. You said a superior, and I know I'm involving. I said they weren't locals, so I extended the scenario slightly. But
don't want you to extend it. I just want you to deal with this scenario as I posited it to you.
Okay. Well, as it is, superior who has terminated people.
Yes. Right.
And has said to me, I have the power to rehire.
Yes.
So I rehire and we work out our problems in a reasonable and rational way. The terminees and other involved parties, myself, whoever's involved in the process of resolving the problems that resulted in the termination. I don't think that termination is something that should be taken lightly. And if there's a chance of bringing people back in immediately, if possible, to work out the problems, then that is the most reasonable and rational way to deal with it.
Do you think it's a sensible approach to manage both at the same time? to determine the validity of the charge and to manage the return of individuals under contentious circumstances. As a manager, you think that these two things undertaken simultaneously make sense?
It can be done. I mean, if you're accusing, the faults of the people, the alleged faults, could be quite serious, in which case if someone's in danger from a coworker or something like that, then you exclude them from the premises. But if it's merely that there's some kind of problem with internal process, then of course you want the people who've been victimized by it to be present to try to correct it.
Well, let's just say we differ in management style. I would say that the best approach is to have the process take care of the immediate situation of resolving the validity of my superior's action. If it is not valid, we will know. And if it is valid, we will know. And in either case, the remedies would be absolutely clear. And then we can go from there.
But if the process shows that Bernard and Sharon have done nothing wrong, will you rehire them?
If they have done nothing wrong, we shall see.
Well, I mean, Pacifica has empowered you to do that.
Sure. I'm very aware of the power that I have to do what I have to do, or I can do. I'm very aware of that. I'm interested in, let's take the steps that are there to be taken, and let's follow the process.
And how can we bring everyone together?
Well, we'll see how it turns out.
Form will we, as listeners and as band members of the volunteer staff, how can there be a reasonable and rational process for working these out?
I mean, doubts?
Well, if it's there's no transparency right now.
What do you mean that there's no transparency? You have had 11 days of transparency, or 10 days, or whatever number of days it is, of transparency.
No, we don't. We still don't know why anyone was fired.
All of this bluster, after all of this so-called information that has been given out, you still are not clear? That is odd.
Well, I would rather hear it from 99.5 from you.
I'm telling you that you will never know from my lips why anybody was fired. You'll never know it. Because I ain't going to say. And I'm not going to say because I think it is an infringement on that person's right to privacy. And apart from which, I think it is disgusting to do. Would you, if you were fired, would you like your boss to make it public the reasons that you were fired? Let's say you were fired for incompetence. That you should be the subject of discussion all throughout the nation that Joe Doakes was so incompetent, we just had to fire him. Would that make you feel good?
Well, I want to know, just, will you rehire them?
No, I'm asking you the question. You're not, we're having a conversation here.
Right, I'm asking you.
I gave you the answer. Repeating the question doesn't make it any more clear. And repeating the answer doesn't make it any more clear.
Well, could you just repeat it one more time?
No, I won't. You had difficulties understanding it in the instances that I said it? I doubt so.
No. But,
well, okay, so then my repeating it wouldn't make it any clearer to you.
No, it was, I wanted to just to, in a, succinctly, it was a very protracted answer that you gave.
Well, you didn't, I give the answers the best way I can to make myself abundantly clear. Thanks for calling, Kevin.
And can you just point out who the Svengali is?
No.
So, again, no transparency.
Why is that transparency? I'm saying to you, what is the transparency that you want?
A 40-year tradition of supporting WBAI.
Have you had transparency before on WBAI?
Well, there's never been kind of radical change.
Oh, really? Is that correct?
In my experience.
According to the programming that we've been hearing since last week, there have been any number of dramatic...
At WBAI? I've been a supporter.
At WBAI, there have been any number of dramatic changes.
No,
heard about the PD. There was a dramatic change. We heard about the situation in 1977. That was a dramatic change. We heard of any number of changes in the past several days. Why is it that transparency is of the... greatest importance now?
Well,
and why is it being demanded of me?
Because we've lost some people who we are part of our everyday.
Why aren't you demanding transparency from them?
From whom?
From whomever, other than me.
No, I always want.
Have you demanded transparency from everybody else? The program that just preceded this one, did you demand transparency there?
Well, you are, I believe, the interim station manager.
Yes.
So that's a very critical role for
yes, and you
people
will agree,
like myself.
You will agree that I began this job when? Just last week, or just this week, officially, I'm taking matters into my official hands.
Right.
Okay. But
so,
I'm
well,
saying, in the program just preceding this one,
yes,
where individuals were sharing information that warranted, in my view, transparency, did you demand it there?
Well, I didn't seek your sources, and I certainly will as the story unfolds. As
okay.
I said, where I, as a listener, am particularly concerned with uh-huh. the termination of someone who I listen to every morning. So
sure.
that's, and you, as interim station manager, have the, you've been, we were told, the power to rehire, to fire.
We covered that. We covered that, yes.
We did. So that's the process that I think would be very, it would help us listeners to have a transparent process if such changes in personnel
in fact,
happen.
You know, the funny thing is that since coming to WBAI, transparency is what I've been carping about. That the things that we needed to be transparent about, such as the actual conditions under which we live and work here at the station, be transparent. That the budget be transparent. That the process be transparent. That people's connections with all kinds of things be transparent. I've been trying to get transparency for a long time. And again, even before we got to this stage, I said initially, and I have not changed my opinion, that the difficulty here is one individual who began this war that placed us in this morass.
Now, I
will rather not become involved in a battle, but I'm not afraid of it either.
Okay.
I would not like to descend to the level where I think this discussion has gone, but if it helps to make things clearer, I will do so.
Okay, well, I...
Thank you.
Well, just why...
But Kevin, yes, why?
The question
ahead.
Is, huh? There are people that we care for have been terminated. There is this
but
internal...
You are
disruptor, why couldn't you have just fired the disruptor and saved the people who...
But you, this is one of the characteristics of a Svengali or disruptor. One of the things is great care that is taken simply to escape detection. And secondly, camouflage. And thirdly, manipulation. So that you are hearing the voice by proxy. You are seeing the actions by proxy, but you're not seeing the actor, and you're not seeing the speaker. Okay?
So thanks. You don't have the power to fire this so-called Svengali,
apparently. Why did you just come to that conclusion?
I assume that as a manager, if there's this glaring problem, you would remove it. I mean, a lot of us are very concerned about, as I've said over and over, wake-up call. And
no,
why
a lot of people are concerned
bring
about...
Bring him back.
No, it's not about bring him back. It's about letting the process go through the permutations it ought to go through. And once that is done, we'll see what that dictates the next step will be. And I think that that's okay. I think that's reasonable, considering the circumstances. Thanks a lot. It's 4 o'clock on WBAI. We have to go and take a break. Thank you very much, Kevin, for your call. I'll be taking your calls after this short break at 212-209-2900.